Last week, a small job advertisement appeared on the inside pages of some newspapers. It may as well have been on the front page going by the uproar it created. It was an innocuous ad placed by the Department of Personnel and Training, a pilot project calling for applications from talented and motivated Indian nationals willing to contribute towards nation building for 10 positions at the joint secretary level on a contractual basis, 3 years, extendable up to 5 depending on their performance. Now, in a nutshell, what this means is that private sector employees can now apply for top government posts. So if you're from a private sector company, a consultancy firm, an international or multinational organization, you can apply as long as you're above 40 years of age and hold at least a PhD. Now, these positions are to be filled up by a committee headed by the cabinet secretary in another 2 months. Now, the government's move has invited, as always, both praise and suspicion. Everyone from the opposition to anyone with a Twitter account has an opinion on this. So is this a much-needed reform, a significant step towards fulfilling the long-standing need for domain specialists in positions crucial to policy-making and implementation of government schemes? Or is there more to this than meets the eye? Is this an idea whose time has come? It is a complex debate. And so in studio we have today Shailaja Chandra, 45 years experience as an IAS officer. She's been a former secretary to the Government of India, former chief secretary Delhi. We'll have Aruna Roy joining us, founding member of the Mazdoor Kisan Shakti Sangathan, also a former bureaucrat. She was in the IAS from 1968 to 1975. She resigned in order to work with people's issues, and a former member of the NAC. We have Rajiv Talwar, who's made the switch the other way around. He's former IAS officer, now in the corporate world, now CEO of DLF Limited. Adil Singh Boparai from the Congress joining us. Vineet Goenka from the BJP member, Governing Council, CRIS, Ministry of Railways. Raghav Chadda with the Aam Aadmi Party, Pankaj Pachauri, editor-in-chief and founder of Go News 24x7. You've seen him formerly even on NDTV. He's been a journalist and anchor, worn many hats. Today he's on the different side of the table. He's also been communication advisor to the Prime Minister's office under Dr. Manmohan Singh. And last but not the least, we have Sanjeev Bichandani. He's IIM alum. He is the founder of Naukri.com, India's largest job portal. And also Shashi Tharoor, former career international diplomat, now serving MP and chair of the All India Professionals Congress. Shailaja, I want to start with you. Actually, let's get opening arguments from everyone. But Shailaja, you know, the main critique would be that the IAS is the most powerful, most elusive, exclusive club in the country. And this is an attempt at reforming them. They're fighting it tooth and nail because, you know, they don't want anyone encroaching on their turf.
I don't agree with that. If you go on the Facebook page of the IAS officers, serving and retired, they're all in favor of lateral entry, number one. Number two, I don't think this innocuous little advertisement that you referred to is all that innocuous. It had three or four elements, which is what has turned people to thinking this could be the thin end of the wedge. Number one, they will be public servants. They didn't say they're being recruited to do a job. They're public servants. And public servants, if you're at a high level, have to come constitutionally through the Union Public Service Commission. You need not pass the IAS exam, but you have to face that. No cabinet secretary and people like that can do it. Number two. Number three, you will be under the rules that government servants come under. The minute you're a government servant, you can't be a contracted person 3 years, 5 years. So there is a complete dichotomy in that. I would only say, number one, lateral entry is something everyone is in favor of. The Administrative Reforms Commission, the IAS themselves, and the public at large. The country is too big. We have technologically and otherwise grown so much. You need expertise. You need specialization. The IAS has a place because they know the grassroots of what happens in the districts. If I tell you what is the difference between Purnia in Bihar as compared to Alzapur, you wouldn't know it. I would know it only because I've been born and brought up knowing these things. Therefore, you do need the IAS for a certain federals, but they have, there are about 3,500 of them or 4,000. There are 6,000 posts. The rest could all come, but do not call them IAS officers. If you are IAS or you want to be on par, come through the UPSC.
Why not go through the UPSC? This is the most competitive exam in the country, and it is meritorious. Why are we messing with something unless it's broken? Why bring in something that we don't know what the system's going to be? Who's going to decide? On what basis are you going to decide?
I think this will be incorrect to say that it is a messing of the system. So we all know IAS is a very good examination. We get meritorious people from there. But we also have to understand this new lateral hiring will infuse new blood, new enthusiasm. There are people who have experience outside the IAS. And it has been understood and also known that corporates work for profits and they know what the work to be done with limited resources. So we can always learn from them. It's a learning process.
IAS officer
so, you know,
supposed to
this is an experiment. I'll tell you,
probably, for the betterment of
I think, the I think maybe people are reading too much. But 10 hires will infuse new blood, enthusiasm. They will bring their best practices, which they did on the other side. And that can be a nice learning. They can always learn. And examinations don't determine who is a good administrator. It's a talent of that individual, it's a wisdom of that individual which determines whether he's a good administrator or not.
Okay, we
so
have many
I'll give you three
IAS
examples. I'll give you three nice examples.
Them,
now, I'll
so
tell
this
you,
exam
before,
doesn't
before
determine
you,
whether
go to
they're going to
I'll
be
give
any
three
good
examples.
Or not.
Montek Singh Ji, Ahluwalia, to Indu Bhushan Ji and many other people, they were lateral hires. They perform and the country is interpreted to them. What they have served this country and what they have contributed, I think each of us still adore them. So it's not that somebody who has just passed the exam.
Okay, I think you've made an important point. I mean, you're basically pointing out here this is not the first time that this government is doing this. That's exactly what I asked Shashi Tharoor when we spoke with him just a short while ago. Mr. Tharoor, this is not the first time that specialists from outside the civil services are being brought in, but it is the first time that you have the government hiring professionals at the crucial joint secretary level post. That is where policy is designed. So where do you come in on this?
You know, Sarah, I have a slightly complicated opinion because I have an opinion in principle and I have an opinion in this particular case. The opinion in principle is that I see nothing wrong with lateral entry provided certain conditions are met. Above all, lateral entry should be a way of making up for deficiencies in expertise in the government. We recruit generalists, we bring them up to do all sorts of different jobs at different stages of their career, and then when we need specialists, we don't have them anymore within the bureaucracy. What's troubling about the government's decision is, number one, they have not explained what specific kinds of expertise they have found lacking for which they need to get people from the outside. Second, they've done so at a fairly senior level, joint secretary. For example, in the MEA, a joint secretary is an ambassador level person. This is a fairly senior position that normally people have to work for some years and acquire some expertise in the way in which the government works in order to be able to do that job. So it's the seniority of the position worries us. And third, there is a real question about how exactly the government intends to evaluate the applicants.
But as Vineet points out, your government has made these lateral transfers. So this government will say they're only taking what you did, taking it forward.
No, in fact, we have definitely had precedents at even higher levels. For example, a secretary to government. In the economic area, we have gotten economists coming in at a very senior rank, and they've taken on very specific positions in the finance ministry. So that's not unusual. And you can go right back to the 60s and 70s to find an interesting set of cases, three or four outside experts being brought in at the level of secretary, secretary of petroleum, who was a petroleum expert, secretary of steel, who was a steel expert, and so on. That was a one-time experiment. It wasn't followed, but that's why I'm in favor in principle of getting in people. But you must appreciate there have to be very clearly spelled out criteria. This government hasn't spelled out their criteria. They haven't taken the nation into confidence saying why they're doing this, nor have they explained how exactly they will evaluate the various applicants. So our worry remains essentially tied to the lack of transparency in the exercise.
So what was your criteria? What was the criteria for your government when you made these lateral transfers? And what was the processes that you followed? And were you open about it?
So the government should first spell out what the criteria are for opening a post to lateral entry. The obvious criterion has to be a lack of available specialist knowledge or expertise that is required for a particular post. If you want a chief economic advisor, he should be a highly respected economist. In the same way, if you want a joint secretary for civil aviation, what it is that you feel that a generalist IAS officer can't learn, and then spell it out. Say that this post is open because we want somebody with particular familiarity with the latest developments in avionics or whatever it may be. And then advertise the post. Secondly, you also spell out the criteria for evaluating individual applicants. Mm. So there are the criteria for the particular kinds of expertise you're lacking that is required in order to make a post open for lateral entry. And then there should be the criteria which must be fulfilled by the applicants in order to qualify, so that a potential joint secretary in the bureaucracy doesn't feel cheated of something if somebody with lower qualifications comes in. So again, the qualifications can stress expertise, certain levels of experience, certain linguistic skills, certain academic achievements, whatever it may be. But they have to be objective criteria. Otherwise, it will look like the politicization of the bureaucracy. We have drawn a very clear line between bureaucrats and politicians. A bureaucrat remains a bureaucrat until retirement age and is free to go into politics after that if he or she wants. But here, the big worry is it'll be a way of getting political interest into the bureaucracy by, for example, taking in people from the RSS, which seems to, in any case, be a super body above the cabinet. The cabinet goes and reports to the RSS and briefs it on its work. Are we now going to get injections of these elements into the government? So there has to be transparency on these two grounds.
Thank you. Vineet, come in there. There has to be transparency. We are politicizing the bureaucracy. And are we not opening up a Pandora's box? This is the first time we're doing it. Like you said, it's only 10 persons right now. There'll be a lot of media attention on this process. Once it becomes the system, how do we know who you're getting in?
See, everybody knows that there were hirings been done with retired IAS and many other people who were not IAS earlier also. Today also, if you see KCR or CB Naidu, both has 7 or 8 advisors who are not from the system. There have been hired. Now here, all the appointees who were there earlier were on the whimsels of the CMs and the PMs then. They may be good, they may be bad, I don't know about their performance. But this is a system which is transparent. Clearly transparent. There are applicants, people will apply.
What is the system?
Everybody can apply.
It's transparent, but we don't know. The ad doesn't.
The system is very simple. See, the first time there is an advertisement coming, otherwise there was an appointment. Do you know how somebody was appointed as an advisor to KCR? You don't even know. You come to know about that gentleman after he's been appointed. Now, this is the first time there is an ad. And anybody, see, I'll tell you, anybody who is a citizen of this country who meets with that criteria, 40 years, experiences and all, can apply, then he will go through the process. So we should welcome this. This is the first time there is a transparency in hiring these people. There have been lateral hirings earlier also. There were hirings, there were people who were appointed, but on the whimsers of political bosses.
No, but this not is to the IAS. This is an advisor to the chief minister.
We don't have to see whether he's an IAS or he's going to contribute to the upbringing of this country.
Yeah.
He will bring his experience. And see, the entire playbook that we are trying to play the fiefdoms. We should break this earlier freedom. We are in 2018. We now can't play and play the earlier themes where you would like to keep things in silo. Somebody who just passed an exam will rule the country. Now let us have experience of these people who come from private. They have good experiences. They are proved.
Okay.
I'll tell you Sanjeev's experience. He runs a company and he has 4,000 people there. Okay. Isn't he a good administrator?
Can Adil
respond?
Sarah, this is a move by the BJP government to bypass the UPSC. Now let me preface my statement. We're not against getting domain expertise to the government. Appoint them as advisors, bring them as consultants, but don't appoint them as parachute babus at the level of the joint secretary. Please understand, joint secretary level officers decide on policy. They require prior experience. They have to be conditioned with the way the government works. Right. They've served for decades. They've served for close to 15 years on the field. They understand how the government functions. This is point number one. Point number two, if you go through the terms of the advertisement, they are extremely vague and ambiguous. And this is a worry. The problem with the BJP is, and if you see their track record for the past 4 years, they've appointed people who are mediocre. Let's take the case of Gajendra Chauhan at the FTII. Now, the problem is you also run the danger of bringing in corporate influence into the administrative structure and eventually undermining the administrative structure. There'll be issues of conflict of interest because these are contractual appointments. So that's why we're saying bring them as advisors, bring them as consultants. And lastly, why do you come up with such a proposal at the fag end of your tenure? You're just 10 months away from general elections. Hmm. You come up with such
a move.
But
they introduce it in the first year, but
no,
it just
the problem. The problem you have to understand, the ostensible reason given by the BJP government is shortage of bureaucrats. But you'll be surprised to know, post-2014, there's been a cut in recruitment. In 2014, there were 1,400 candidates who were selected through the UPSC system. There's been a systematic reduction. So on one hand, You say that there is shortage of bureaucrats, that's why we're going through the lateral entry route. And on the other hand, you're deliberately reducing the intake of bureaucrats. So this runs counter to what they're stating. So these are issues which the Prime Minister and the BJP needs to explain. The entire process is riddled with subjectivity. And like Dr. Tharoor has said, we suspect and we have reason to believe that this is an attempt by the BJP to install people with RSS inclinations in critical points of governance.
Okay, let's go across. I want to quickly just go across to Aruna because we've got her on Skype. I don't want to lose her connection. Aruna, we have the BJP here saying, you know, this is 10 new recruits. I mean, actually, in a sense, are 10 new recruits going to make any dent in the present system? Are they likely to make any big, like, earth-shattering differences also? Are we making a mountain out of a molehill?
Let me begin by saying that having been both inside the government for 7 years and outside for many more years, I would say that independence and integrity of the IAS is what makes people believe in whatever government faces them. It's not a political government, it's the bureaucratic government which runs India. So confidence in that government that it will perform has been a key factor. And though we've critiqued the civil service a lot, we've also believed that its tenure, its continuity makes it accountable, transparent and responsible. Now, in somebody who comes in for 5 or 6 years and becomes a civil servant and goes away, that continuity is lost. I remember going once to Mexico, and they were saying that one of the best things of India was that we had a civil service which lasted, so that there would be continuing responsibility. I also think that we are really downgrading for governments and political parties who've been claiming anti-corruption and integrity as a motive, to set aside probably the only institution in this country which is recruited without muck on its face has been the UPSC. Mm. No matter what kind of people have come up, they might be a general critique, but the UPSC has been safe from accusation of corruption and nepotism. Any appointment which is a lateral entry will be a political appointment, has been a political appointment, and political appointments are suspicious because they do not go through processes. And we think if there is, get a lateral entry of a specialist, no problem, not in the civil service. Get them a specialist, take their valued judgments, their opinions, but they must be put through the mill of constitutional validity, of constitutional responsibility, and of responsibility to the people of this country. And that, I think, the IAS is battered into understanding. You see, when you are an STM, when you are a collector, when you are a civil, you know, deputy secretary and undersecretary, you go through the grind. And even though I've often critiqued the IAS, I think there is so much that all of us have gone through the process and learned.
Okay, Aruna, we'll go across to up to check if they think that the IAS is apolitical. But I'm coming back to you. Also, the Congress says that this is a revolving door between the government and the private sector, which is being involved, that will lead to greater corporate power over the government, over the state.
One more issue, you've just cut me short. May I say it?
Yes, please, go ahead. And my other question.
Because it's not only, in a sense, anticipated what I was going to say. It's not only the interest of certain specific political parties, but it's corporations. And today they are the biggest shakers of and makers of government. They're going to enter and they're going to hold us all to ransom. And it'll be invisible, like the electoral bonds. We don't know who's contributing to political parties. Now foreigners can contribute to political parties. Then you'll have their stooges working in the ministries. What is the point of our sovereignty, our vote? What is the point of any of the things that have been guaranteed by the Constitution or by the election process? It's a huge thing. So when the beginnings emerge, I think that's the right time to debate and scotch it. We can't start crying after the milk has been spilled.
Okay, I'm glad we have Rajiv Talwar because he's made the switch. He's gone from IAS to the corporate world. Yeah. So Rajiv, please respond over here. These are the fears that two of the panelists have had.
You know, I think the process is transparent enough right now because it's come through a public advertisement. Yes, the IAS is the best talent pool and the civil services. Why only the IAS? Hmm. The civil services are the best talent pool for all of these youngsters. They come through a rigorous examination system. They spend their lifetime. But there are equal number of cases who were inducted as lateral entries without any advertisement. And I think we've had spectacular success, whether he took, you know, Monte Singh Ahluwalia's name, whether it was Mr. D.V. Kapoor, whether it was Colonel Wahyu who came into head ONGC, whether it was even Yogi Deveshwar, who actually after 3 years went back and then led a stellar life in the ITC. So I don't think people are looking forward to working in the bureaucracy, and nobody in the IAS, at least in, even in the civil services, is afraid of getting people who are experts. You already said they should be PhDs. I mean, what higher qualification would you want in a public advertisement? It's that open a process, it's that transparent a process. And okay, maybe induct a UPSC member, everyone's saying that there should be a system. But everywhere in the past, whether it was Mr. Sam Pitroda, whether it was anybody else, Nandan Nilekani, who came in and changed the entire, you know, social security system.
What disastrous effect?
Well, yes, you can have a political view. You can have a political view. I mean, Aruna can have a view. We've all trained over there. But I think nobody is scared of this lateral entry. Then why 10? You can accommodate 100. And people have the liberty to go out. Maruti has been run by IAS officers. Hmm. I mean, the chairman and the managing director earlier.
But that's going
and
out.
There's, yes, going out. This is coming in.
Aruna, I'll come to you. Let him just finish.
Why should they have a problem with public service?
Correct.
I mean, isn't somebody in the private sector equally committed as an Indian to perform public service?
Absolutely, but Mr. Talwar, respond to the conflict of interest point that Aruna has raised. My question is that if we're saying you need domain expertise, which means you're coming in from an industry that you will be working in, you're only here for 3 years and you're going back to that industry. So will there, obviously people will raise questions about conflict of interest. Won't there be conflict of interest?
Why should there be any conflict of
interest? If someone from
a
telecom company is coming in to advise the Ministry of Telecom and then in 3 years going back.
So one person can make a difference in a ministry, or even let's say, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 joint secretaries. What are the other joint secretaries going to do? What is the other additional secretary, the financial advisor, the secretary, the minister of the particular ministry? What are they going to do? They're going to say that yes, we've got somebody from outside, therefore let's all fall in line. The truth is that the IAS actually welcomes these people and gives them wholehearted support. You've had Mr. Sridharan coming in. You've had Nandan coming in. They've delivered such changes. You've had Pradeep Puri coming in and giving us one of the best roads in the country, the D&D flyway. Were they not all supported by the IAS system?
So, Aruna, come in here then, because I know you. She's on Skype. It's not fair, since she's not here physically present. But it would lead to the question about whether you actually need a specialist. Do you need a specialist? Does the IAS officer need to be a specialist, or does he need to be, you know, the point that synthesizes the idea to what needs to be done on the ground? Like, let's say GST, Aadhaar, all of them may be very good technical ideas and you need specialists for them, but to actually implement them on the ground, it may not work as it has on paper, should on paper.
They don't. I partially do, but they don't in many cases. But what I'm saying is that the process of management in administration is an expertise. Why are we saying that they are not experts? I would like any one of those boxwallahs to go and sit as a collector or a rescue and deal with the complexity. You learn how to deal with complexities. That's what the IAS teaches you, to balance a democracy, to look at the interests of several factors and come to a sane decision. There are many who do it, some don't do it, but they get flagged. But my point is, you can't laterally bring in Edwin Monte, whom I admire for his intelligence, but for his perspicacity, we've had so many quarrels. I've had quarrels with Nandan Nilekani, but because they're so far removed from reality. So I think what Shailaja said at the beginning is a very important consideration. The IAS is the biggest administrative management institute, which teaches you how to deal with the political and other democratic complexities of India. If you don't know this, you can have the best ideas, but nothing can be implemented. You have to understand that implementation is the final test. And I think the IAS, by experience, understands what sometimes can and what sometimes can't work. The worst critics of the IAS outside, including campaigns, we associate with them, we engage with them, and we work with them. The only thing we ask is that people like us, who are also experts on people's ideas, be listened to, and that we sit with them. But we don't want to depose them, and we don't want to get into their space, because that's a different space.
We're all talking about expertise. The world doesn't need you know, it doesn't need generalists like IAS officers and journalists. You're one who's gone from being a journalist to work for a PM, clearly with a political party. How do you straddle both worlds? Do you think the world is flat, you know, lines are being blurred, or bureaucracy is still sacrosanct and that cannot be touched with?
See, when I joined the Prime Minister's office, there were about 19 IAS officers. I joined as an additional secretary. There were 19 IAS officers working in the office. They were all absolutely brilliant people. What's happening in this government is that we are in the fifth year now. Things are not moving. Okay, you look at agriculture, you look at CAD is like 5 times more than last year. On every issue, economy, agriculture, employment, you have to just open up some website and you'll know what's happening. This whole, I think it's an, this is basically being done to manage the election. So you get these 10 guys who go to different ministries and they are doing stuff. Have they done a study of the kind of talent which is actually available today? The number of engineers, IITians, the number of MBAs who've gone into IAS in last 10 years is remarkable. Some of the best talent of this country is getting into the IAS. The problem with the political parties is, especially with this government, is that they think they know everything and they've made a mess of everything. When we're talking about people from outside, the kind of names being taken, Nandan Lenekari, SR Ramadurai, Arun Myra, and you have who advising the governments here? Baba Ramdev on health? Christ's sake. I mean, this is what the bankruptcy of this government is, basically. They've been running, I've seen Gujarat from very close quarters for very, very long. You just use the bureaucracy as your handmaiden. You can run a small state like that. Okay? Other people also did that. Look at Mayawati in Uttar Pradesh. Look at Lalu in Bihar. Look at Mamata Banerjee now. So you can run a small state, you know, with the help of IAS officers
who are malleable.
This country,
so you
very can't
malleable. Run. You said malleable.
Yes.
So then let me ask you, are we not being naive? Both you and Aruna just said, you know, are we romanticizing?
No, IAS? I'm not romanticizing.
Let's bring in the op over here. Is Aruna, the IAS completely apolitical? I'm giving you an easy question.
Like Aruna, my entire life is, as a journalist, we've been criticizing the IAS officers and the government.
Correct.
Okay. But the thing is that there are good IAS officers, there are bad IAS officers. And similarly, there are IAS officers who would not, you know, wait 2 months to get another post, as it happened in this government. Hmm. I think the foreign secretary.
Mr. Jayashankar.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even, you know, sit on the bench for a year or so. I sat on the bench for 2 years. I didn't even go back to the corporate world for that reason, because I know so much about the government. Last government and the government before that and the chief ministers and everyone and so many IAS officers. I mean, before retirement, every IAS officer is like a puddle of pool because, you know, the system is so raw. And that's the problem with this.
But the government cut down the term.
I've seen joint secretaries,
which
are being appointed. 30 years of service, a joint secretary in the government of India, absolutely, absolutely honest person. And I asked him that, what are you going to do, 55 years of age? He said, I have 8.5 lakh rupees in my PF account. That's all I have. I mean, this is how we take care of our IAS officers. They are the people who are running countries. They are running multi-billion dollar companies. SAIL, Steel Authority of India, at one point of time, was the largest steel company in the world. And I saw
that. Why shouldn't these companies be able to, you know, access the kind of person
who have
the kind
talent.
Of training
you,
and the talent
won't get
that
the
you've
talent.
Been through
you
the
You won't get the
IAS.
Talent if you want to, you know, fit like square holes and round pegs and all that. This is what you want to do. I mean, 10 joint secretaries in this whole country, it's nothing.
Okay, let me go across now to Raghav.
I'll
go to Raghav and then come to you because he's also going to be political and he's going to be taking you on anyway. But, you know, Pankaj says there are good and there are bad IAS officers, but I think we can all agree that it's the politicians that are picking on them. AAP says that the LG, a former IAS officer, is a political puppet. But you say the same about the previous LG, who was appointed by a different government.
So then, the logical conclusion is that it's not to do with the person who's holding that office. It's more to do with the person who's appointing that person and is putting, exerting pressure or compelling that person to work in a certain manner.
So it's a government.
So if the simple question to me is, can the bureaucracy be politicized? Of course it can be politicized. Can certain political parties exert pressure on bureaucrats and paralyze governance in Delhi? We have a textbook example in Delhi, how certain bureaucrats have orchestrated a strike, aided and abetted by the lieutenant governor, and governance in Delhi has been paralyzed. And therefore, you have a situation where the chief minister is sitting on a protest, what we call as satyagraha, in the LG's office, waiting for him to just step out of his office and resolve this bureaucratic mess. I mean, there is naked insubordination going on in the Delhi government. But coming to the point of lateral entry, we as the Aam Aadmi Party welcome the move. In fact, we were the first persons to appoint an engineer as a PWD secretary in the government of Delhi. We were the first persons to appoint a doctor as the health secretary in the government of Delhi. But these two persons were from within the government framework. They weren't imported from outside. And as my friend from the BJP points out, that various chief ministers like Chandrababu Naidu, etc., have made advisors, have appointed advisors. There's a difference between a co-terminus appointment and an appointment as the joint secretary of the government of India. Number two, now there are certain flaws in the policy that has been laid down by the government of India. Though in principle, I agree and appreciate with the entire concept. The flaws are the following. Number one, who will appoint these persons? It's not the UPSC. UPSC is a body which has some amount of autonomy. It's not the UPSC that will appoint. It's the cabinet secretary who has the final word. Now, who appoints the cabinet secretary? It's the prime minister. Just how prime minister has surrounded himself from certain trusted Gujarat bureaucrats like a Hasmukh Adia or a Rajiv Gauba. He's the person who appoints the cabinet secretary. So therefore, it is his whims and fancies that will decide which person will occupy which office. So that's number one. And therefore, the reasonable apprehension that people have is that people from the RSS background may appoint. Number two. I think until now, the corporates were spending a lot of money in installing lobbies in Lutyens, Delhi. Now they don't have to. They can just directly approach the minister and let me finish a couple of more points. These people will be appointed as joint secretary level officers, and the real bosses will be these corporate boxes. So crony capitalism, we'll see much more of that. Number three.
Arun has mentioned that.
Number three, the tenure is only 3 years. There is no cooling off period. What will happen? They will have access to the files. They will have access to government secrets. And as soon as that tenure is over, they will go back to whichever corporate wants to hire them, and they will have access to everything. So that's a big problem. And lastly, the BJP's own members of parliament like Udit Raj of Delhi and others have said that when you appoint people via the UPSC, there are some constitutional entitlements given to the SCST, to the OBCs, etc. That has also not been accounted for in these appointments. So you cannot disregard a section of society.
Many points, Raghav. Let me first let Vineet also respond. So Vineet, but respond to the fact that this is a political move, and the power, I mean, the orders are coming straight from the top. The fact is the opposition parties all are in agreement. They say, they point out that the way that this government has led with the appointment in the judiciary, all this obviously makes them nervous. The police commissioner of Delhi, who is now a member of UPSC. Pankaj has raised these questions. You have the LG who finished the IAS and then went on to the Vivekananda Foundation immediately.
Yeah. So I hope I get fair time to answer all the queries which
has
come up.
Your time is running right now.
Yeah.
So
number one, there were appointments been done by PMs and CMs. This is the first time there is a transparency. So let us welcome that. Did you know how many people were appointed by earlier PMs and earlier CMs? Number is not there. Number two, the apprehensions shared by Pachauri ji, that people who are good and bad. Now, individuals are good and bad. It's not the post which is good and bad. It's not the institution which gives good and bad. There may be journalists in NDTV who may not act as per the norms. It is not NDTV which is bad and good, right? It's that individual. Same way an IS or a non-IS can be good and bad.
I'm glad we have it on record now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that a special statement.
Yeah. So there may be people over there. Number two.
You're on a clean chip to NDTV.
Sir, I heard everybody with patience. So please give me some time to hear speak. Now, there are few thousand people who are eligible, who are plus 40, 15 years, PhD. Please trust them. They are Indians, they are citizens of this country, and they love this country, alike what you and I love this country. So to say that they will all sell this country to corporates, and only those who have been going through this process earlier have never sold this country will be an incorrect statement. Let us trust them. There are 10 people. They may add new blood, they will add new enthusiasm, they will bring in best practices of the corporate. They also have served, like somebody has served as collector somewhere, they also have some somewhere, they have built up corporate empires. They know how to run people, how to make businesses done. So please believe them, okay. Get the best practices. And we are in 2018, please open up, see the new progress which is coming up. Now showing the back, and somebody said about RSS background. I come from RSS, I'm very proud about that. My father was Pracharak, my grandfather was Pracharak. What is wrong?
Okay,
I served it. And when I introduced tutors in railway as an independent director there, see, it's serving the purpose. The grievances handling has changed. Somebody in the bureaucracy only told me,
I can speak for hours about what is wrong with the
RSS. But when we introduced grievances handling, it changed the entire paradigm.
We can have a whole
show. Isn't that independent directors who made changes? Had not been then, and independent directors are independent directors appointed by the
officers.
Is there selection
procedure?
We're just trying to put in system here. Isn't the welcome move that there is a transparency which is coming up?
Puneet, 1 second. There's an important point that's been raised. If you're saying it's so path-breaking and we have 1 year left before you go in for an election, what are you going to do about the opposition that's coming in from the Dalits? Chandraban Prasad is an advisor to the Dalit Indian Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Prasad, why is this a problem? Why are we planning or why are we hearing of protests that are going to take place against this?
See, from my college days, I have grown up with highest respect for UPSC. UPSC is one of the most credible institutions in this country. Had bureaucracy failed, in past 40 years, India has been transformed beyond recognition. Why now you want to turn bureaucracy a Supreme Court of India? Why you want to turn bureaucracy into an Indian media that acts more like North Korea, where people are selected not on the basis of exam, but they are selected on the basis of interviews? Any interview-based selection hurts Dalits and Adivasis most, and UPSC is more credible than Supreme Court of India. Why there is a need?
But sir,
to
there's reservation even then,
UPSC.
So it's not purely on the debate
intent?
On reservation.
What is the intent behind bypassing UPSC?
Okay, would you be just, can you respond to the,
I understand you're saying there's no merit, but the fact is, are you going to contest legally the fact that the SC/ST quota will be affected?
Mr. Chandraman, will this government be seeing a legal tussle?
It's not only a question of quota, it's a question of India as a nation. Why do you want to bring people on that basis of interview when we know that higher judiciary is
most... Sir, my request is believe the citizens. You will be selected. They are your fellow citizens and they will contribute as equal to you and me, sir. These are independents who also love this country, like you and me. And
sir,
very probably
the
selected ones may be some Dalit. So why are you trying to expand? These are the people who will be meritorious, sir.
Develop the
okay.
It's only not you and me who are serving this country.
Please.
There are people
develop
who would like
to
serve.
Listening to others.
Okay, I want to just get in Sanjeev.
Please understand.
Listening to others.
Sanjeev has been sitting quietly.
What kind of gentleman you are?
Okay,
you
let's get Sanjeev in. Sanjeev. Vineet here says, trust these people, etc., etc. The fact is the advertisement says, let me just see if I can pull that up again. What the advertisement said is they're looking for talented, motivated Indian nationals willing to contribute towards nation building. In your opinion, are the youth of today willing to contribute towards nation
building? They're right here. I definitely think so. The youth of today are definitely want to contribute to nation building, just as the youth of yesterday did and the youth of day before yesterday did.
Why
all
is
youth
nobody going into the police services anymore? The army, the... maybe someone here said there's a lot of demand for the IAS, but everywhere
the
else we're seeing...
IFS, IAS, both.
Yeah, why are
vacancies?
There so many vacancies?
Yeah. Look,
Army?
There could be various reasons for that, right? There could be other lines of profession that are opening up, which some people might find more attractive.
Sure.
But that does not mean
there's
that
nothing
you're
wrong
not...
with that.
Doesn't mean you're not contributing to nation building. Okay? If you pay your taxes, you're contributing to nation building.
Correct. Good point.
Okay? If you're a journalist, you're still contributing to nation building.
Oh, more so.
Yeah. So I would not bring the nation building argument for the youth here. I think on this one, you know, I think there are various views, but I think it's a good idea that the government gets the talent it needs in order to do the things it needs to do. Now, is this the right method? Is this the right channel? And that's what the debate is about. I think nobody's arguing that the government should get access to talent it needs. Right? Number one. Number two is, this whole thing about specialists versus generalists. The truth is, to be effective in any job, right, you have to have great general skills.
Yes.
And you have to have specialist knowledge. And mm-hmm. and if you're a generalist, you have to acquire the knowledge quickly. And it's quite likely and possible, and I suspect this is the truth, that most IAS officers actually are smart enough to specialize very quickly where they have to. Okay? Because they have to learn very quickly about that specific domain where they're working. But they have to have great general skills as well. Because if you don't do that, even if you have specialist knowledge, you can't execute and carry people with you. Right? And you might take the wrong call. Likewise, for a good specialist, if they don't have general skills, their ideas will not be accepted and they will not be able to execute them. So actually, you need people who are smart and both good specialists and good generalists at the same time.
Okay. Let's quickly get some audience reactions here. Are you an IAS aspirant?
Yes, ma'am.
Your reactions to this move that the government's going to be bringing people, lateral entry people from other spheres who haven't gone through the UPSC exam?
Okay. First of all, ma'am, UPSC is a constitutional body in India, and I also prepare for UPSC. And let me tell, UPSC is, I am supportive of UPSC because I am also a UPSC candidate.
Joran, so you say that they should go through the UPSC exam,
yes,
nobody
yes.
else from
yeah.
outside. What about you?
I am also agreeing with her that there must be an exam conducted for lateral entries because I agree with that, sir.
No, okay, but like you, I think somebody on the panel said that you've taken this one exam. Of course, it is the most competitive exam, but you've taken it 30 years ago. So would you be okay with someone coming in if they take it again? Or
see,
are you all aspirants?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, whatever guidelines, policies has been taken for such initiative, it could have merits and demerits as well. Actually, I'm talking about, and it's all about my wish that I want to know about, what would be the situation where unrest would cause between pre-existing IAS officers with new lateral, lateral aspirants.
Whosoever I have talked, they are all okay with it. Serving officers at the level of secretary
judges. It's not just about you.
They are all comfortable about this.
This is my question to Aruna. It sounds like you all are protecting your turf.
There is nothing
called. Why can't it be open? There may be somebody on the outside who has some great ideas. Why can't we listen to that?
They are all comfortable. I think there it is few who feel to create a ruckus around BJP and RSS. It has nothing to do with this. All the IAS whom I know personally, whom I have worked, all of them welcome because new blood will
insert
new enthusiasm. And this is what they are looking forward.
Is this the IAS just trying to protect its own turf?
मैम मैं ये बताना चाहूँगा कि जैसा कि मैं तो बिल्कुल मतलब गवर्नमेंट के इस पॉलिसी को सपोर्ट कर रहा हूँ और लेकिन क्योंकि ये जो ब्यूरोक्रेसी है जो हमारा जो सिस्टम है वो कॉलोनियल रूल से बिल्कुल ऐसे ही चलता आ रहा है तो चेंजमेंट जरूरी है और जैसा कि गवर्नमेंट ने लेटरल एंट्री की बात की है तो ऐसे लोग भी हैं इंडिया में जो कि मतलब देश के लिए अच्छा सोच सकते हैं बहुत सारे ऐसे रीजन होते हैं जिसके कारण वो आईएएस ना कर पाए आईएएस ना बन पाए तो बिल्कुल भी ये एक अच्छा गवर्नमेंट एक अच्छे आइडिया के साथ आई है हाँ कुछ चैलेंजेज हैं इसके जैसा कि सर ने रेज किया कि रिक्रूट कौन करेगा क्योंकि हो सकता है कि आगे चल के ये ऐसा भी हो सकता है कि जैसे कॉरपोरेट सेक्टर से लोग आ रहे हैं तो ये केवल करोड़पति या अरबपतियों के लिए हो जाए कि वो सीट्स बिकने लगे इस तरीके के भी चांसेस हो सकते हैं तो रिक्रूट कौन करेगा ये एक अच्छा क्वेश्चन है जैसे कि यूपीएससी मैं अगर सजेस्ट करूँ तो यूपीएससी रिक्रूट कर सकता है क्योंकि ये कॉन्स्टिट्यूशनल बॉडी है तो वो अगर रिक्रूट करे और रिक्रूट करेगा तो उसकी प्रोसीजर क्या होनी चाहिए कैसे रिक्रूट किया जाएगा
okay. राजीव द कॉर्पोरेट सीम्स टू बी द पंचिंग बैग टुनाइट एवरीबॉडी इज ओके सिंस यू मेड द मूव रिस्पोंड हियर एंड देन अरुणा
नोबडी विल एक्चुअली गो इन फॉर what Raghav called crony capitalism. Actually, what we are all singling out today is at the joint secretary level, whether it be the state or whether it be the center, those are the posts that we are looking forward to. What about the IAS looking inwards and saying that last mile delivery and working with the people, which is what ma'am said, we do it in the beginning of our careers.
In the first 10 years,
yes. Yes. How about going back? How about going back and the seniors coming over there into the divisions, into the districts and actually leading from there? That we never think of going back. Everyone's thinking even parachuting. Pankaj parachuted right into the Prime Minister's office as an additional secretary. So I think we need to go back and serve the people. That was one of the responsibilities of the IAS. I think Arunaji said very rightly that they have a great capacity to get battered They have a great capacity to listen and to respond to people. I think they are very good civil servants. But this process is absolutely recommended that yes, let new blood come in.
Okay, Aruna, the fact that IAS officers work on the ground for the first 10 years, they know what happens in the villages, they know how a policy being made, tabulated here in the capital is actually going to work on the ground, can that be substituted?
I don't think so. You see, the problem with lateral recruitment is that they come in with a very important specialization, but it can only be one that feeds into a system. You can't really... Hello, am I there?
Yes. Go ahead.
So it can't be transposed into a system in which, no matter what my respectable panelists are saying, is committed to corporatization, committed to misrepresentation. It's even denying us access to our own rules about the RTI, has spoken distinctly against the right to information, against transparency. The next government will come, it will do the same thing. So what we need is a body of people who will be committed to constitutional norms. Jo aapne kaha tha ki ye lateral recruitment ko UPSC ke through kyun nahi karte hain? Isliye nahi kar rahe hain kyunki bhai bhatije ko nahi laga sakte hain, aapke khas logon ko nahi laga sakte hain.
Absolutely.
मैडम, इसके पहले बहुत सारे रिक्रूटमेंट हो चुके हैं. अगर आपने देखो तो अभी ऐसा है कि कुछ में जब पंकज जी का अपॉइंटमेंट होता तो क्या यहाँ पे यूपीएससी आई थी क्या?
देयर इज अ डिफरेंस.
सो प्लीज अंडरस्टैंड, आज तक नहीं. और जब आई
वाज एन एडवाइजर, आई डिडंट जॉइन द
गवर्नमेंट. दिस आर पीपल हु आर पावरफुल. एडवाइजर इज एज पावरफुल
एंड मेनी पीपल इन द ऑडियंस वर नॉट. व्हेन यू मेड दैट
स्टेटमेंट, देन गेट एडवाइजर ऑफ इंडिया. डू यू थिंक ऑल द सिटीजंस गेट एडवाइजर? कैन आई जस्ट नो से समथिंग हियर?
We're on a break.
We're in a short break.
You're in a short break.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
Welcome back. Let's quickly get closing arguments. Shailaja, to you. Have we also been romanticizing the IAS on this debate so far? It is politicized, it's slothful, it's complacent. It's not the way Sardar Patel said that it would be able to speak freely. Closing arguments.
First and foremost, I want to disabuse everyone who has spoken from the notion that lateral entry has been done in the past. It has been done for certain positions, not to become a member of a government system. All the regatta, the regalia that goes with government is in that position. Therefore, there is a big distinction. You can take any number of advisors, any number of consultants, any number of officers on special duty, and you should bring those people. Nobody will mind it. But don't make them into a part of a huge government apparatus which has a system laid down. You can't wish it away. The courts will immediately get into it, number one. You asked me about the IAS. You know, now that I look at it, and I've been in the system and outside the system, I would say you can't say they're all as a service perfect. They have the ability to think on their feet and to quickly get hold of something. But that doesn't mean they're all the same. The Administrative Reforms Commission, not that I agreed with everything they said, but one thing they did say, after 20 years, put them through a rigorous exam again.
You've raised the Administrative Reforms Commission. So are there other solutions? We've had commissions, we've had expert committees. Is this a quick fix solution by this government, and in the process we're throwing out the baby with the bathwater?
This is exactly what we are doing. And we are doing it because we are getting into election year. Things are not happening fast. The government is slipping and sliding. They want them, some people, I mean, 10 joint secretaries can't do anything in this country. But they want their own people to, in the run-up to the election, to do some things. And this is like an agitprop. You know, it's a controversy which is like absolutely useless. 10 joint secretaries can't do anything in this country. And it has been just started now. So a message goes out to the rest of the bureaucracy that you behave before the elections.
That's the danger of it. That's the danger of it. Raghav?
No, absolutely. But, you know, let us also understand, and as I said at the outset, I am a supporter of the idea, and India is not the only country that is experimenting with it.
There are various... The White House is running of people like that, and you know what's happening to the world.
No, but there's a difference. There is a difference. As I said, I mean, there are certain checks and balances that need to be installed. There has to be proper selection criteria and an independent, unbiased non-partisan appointing authority, if you have your own cabinet secretary finally signing the file and appointing X, Y, Z as an advisor or as a joint secretary, then the entire process is politicized. Whereby if you have a UPSC-like system, then you cannot tinker with that process, number one. Number two, you know, we actually run a risk that perhaps by the end of this month, our good friend Vineet may be appointed as joint secretary MHA. He may be looking after the union territories. He may be looking after the Delhi government. So that's a real risk to run.
The last word.
I mean, I'm not.
I'm already an independent director of railway, so I don't not be appointed in MHA. I think I have contributed, and I never sat on dharna. I contributed to the railway.
We have seen this government, the BJP-run government, appoint the likes of Dr. Sambit Patra, who's a surgeon, a leading spokesperson of the BJP, on the board of NTPC. Shazia Ilmi, another spokesperson of the BJP, who was allegedly previously doing some journalism, is now on a board of I think the National Highways Authority of India.
Okay.
So therefore, that is the risk you run, and therefore, unless and until you have proper, maybe that
Engineers
one. So she does not possess the requisite skill set.
Okay.
To discharge the duties of that position.
All right, but on the other side, you know, IAS officers, they need to also move with the times. They need to like stop being so bureaucratic and thinking that, you know, nobody can touch them. It's time for some reform. Government's trying what your government
is doing. The rationale behind this proposal is that we need domain expertise and we need talent, right? Why not appoint them as overseas advisors and consultants? They can continue to assist the government, number one. Number two, see what this government has done. They've subverted every institution in this country, including yours. They've co-opted some media players as well. So therefore, they want to create a committed bureaucracy. Number three, another proposal from the DOPT, they want to now tinker with the cadre allocation process and make it contingent to a foundational course. So you see the mindset we're going. Number four, which this gentleman here raised, this is bound to lead to friction within the bureaucracy. You install somebody, you bring somebody from, let's say, Monsanto, appoint him as Joint Secretary of Agriculture, this is going to lead to chaos. Let's not forget, there may be an idea in theory, and how that idea plays out in practicality may be completely different.
Closing argument, see, your track record is what the opposition is worried about. It says that this is a disingenuous move.
Why now?
If we've had a shortage, why right now? And 10, what difference is 10 going to make?
Intersectorial mobility will help us bring in new talent. That's the whole idea. And this is not about what they are thinking about. And what worries them is they will not get elected. So let's not mix two things. I heard, sir. I was hearing everybody's question. So let's understand. Youth of India brings in new talent, and this is 2018. Let's have some reforms. And bureaucracy is not that weak. IAS is not that weak that 10 people who coming in will shatter the entire organization. They will be there. They will be strengthening the system.
Reforms,
let them have new ideas.
Six.
And please let us do away with these whimsers and whimsers of appointments. At least there is some process. Yes, if there are flaws which can be suggested, give me changes. I would suggest this is the best decision taken as far as lateral hiring is concerned, because this will give us a new look. And they have experience. They are not guys who don't have experience. They are PhDs, 15 years experience. They also have proved themselves.
Okay, so is this a game changer? Is this going to be another plan gone awry? We don't know. A lot of it will depend on just how transparent the government is. In the next 2 months, we're told that they'll have these new lateral entrants. We're out of time on We the People, but as we say here, it's important to speak up. It's also important to listen. Thank you for joining us, and see you next week. Bye-bye.